and James seem to me to have a very special significance, because these were people that actually lived and walked with Jesus through the whole of his ministry, and they heard all his teaching, they heard what he had to say, but they also knew him as a person. So really, we take special notice of what they have to say and their impressions of Jesus himself, don't they? So, and it's quite, one of the things that struck me years ago was the fact that James, if we I guess go back to read that little bit in James, is it on here? Yes, James' epistle. It's only just a few pages further back. And he says, this James just mentions in his epistle, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit has caused us to envy intensely, but he gives us more grace. This is the verse, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he goes on to say, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think it's thought that this James was possibly the Lord's brother, James. There are lots of Jameses in the New Testament. And James, the Lord's brother, evidently later on, we see in Acts that he was very much a leader in the church at Jerusalem. And he, even more so, he'd actually lived in the same family with Jesus himself, so he would have absorbed, wouldn't he, that the spirit of Jesus. It was not only his power and his authority, but at the same time his humble and his gracious and loving attitude. And we've got so much to learn that Peter, in his epistle in this chapter, he quotes exactly the same verse in exactly the same way. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on to say, humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then that famous verse that we often fall back on, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Jesus, he cared for his disciples. He had that relationship with them, that they knew him, and he knew them. And it's very much, we're called on in this chapter to be shepherds. And Peter, he says straight away, he says that Peter and the other disciples were witnesses of his sufferings, the sufferings of Christ. So it's probably Peter would have been there at the crucifixion. Certainly John was there. And we know that they were witnesses, actual eyewitnesses, and they knew Jesus well. Whatever, we can't imagine what it would feel like to witness the crucifixion. Peter was there, and obviously it had a tremendous effect on his whole life. And he said, we're witnesses, and we're witnesses of his example, he says. It's not only what actually happened at the cross and everything that means to us, but they were witnesses of his example. They knew Jesus. They knew him well, and he knew them. And what an example that is to us, that and we need to be examples in a way. That's a big challenge, of course. But we have had an example in our lifetime, haven't we? Well, most of our lifetime. We've lived through the whole 70 years of Queen Elizabeth's reign. And she was really an amazing person when you look back, that she led not by sort of authority or dictation, but she led by example, really. And she, every time in her Christmas messages, she never missed an opportunity to say that her example was Jesus. And that had an effect on her whole life. And so it should on ours, really. I mean, we have that example in the scriptures. And we also, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, we know him and he knows us. We know what he's like, his attitude of grace. And he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we need grace. Now, if we're going to be shepherds of the flock, we would all care for one another to a large extent. I know we do have leadership and we need leadership, but we're asked to be shepherds. And Jesus, obviously, our minds immediately go to Jesus himself, that he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And we really ought to read that verse. Read from John 13. Here somewhere. No, I haven't. John 13. It's always best to read the actual words that we've got written in the scripture, isn't it? John 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God as was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who's writing this epistle. And he said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." He didn't want that. Then he goes, Simon Peter replied, "Not my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet, but his whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you," speaking of Judas. And then verse 12, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." What an example that Jesus actually got down and washed his disciples' feet. They were a bit flummoxed, I think. They must have been, mustn't they? But he just goes to show that this is an example. We are to wash one another's feet, which you can take it literally if you want to, I suppose. But we know what this means, that we have to care for one another and recognise our needs and do what we can to help one another and support one another and strengthen one another and encourage one another and refresh one another, don't we? And the thing is, the shepherd, he cares about his sheep. He cares for them and he cares about them. And a shepherd is, he's one who really takes a great interest in his sheep. That's what his job is. I probably bored you lots of times before with all my paternal ancestors were farmers, and they all farmed in the Cotswolds. And the big thing about farming in the Cotswolds in those days particularly was they were sheep farmers. They had sheep, a lot of sheep. And my father, when he started on his own, he took a farm down in Berkshire, and really in the chalk downlands in the Thames Valley. And he bought this farm in the early 1930s, I suppose. And that's where I was born and lived the first 10, 11 years of my life, and all through the wartime. But he kept a lot of sheep. He had a large flock of sheep. And I distinctly remember as a child growing up and me going out in the field and seeing the sheep. And in the sheep was the little shepherd's hut with the wheels on. It was moved every day. You know what they looked like, an old shepherd's hut with the wooden steps and the big iron wheels. And the shepherd lived in there all through the winter time, and in the springtime and the lambing season, he was there with the sheep day and night. He lived in that hut. He sort of seemed to just eat bread and cheese and onions. But he was always there. It was Teddy Collins, I can remember his name. And he was always called Shep. And Shep lived in the field, and he had to move the hurdles. It was before the days of electric fences. There were wooden hurdles, and he had to move hundreds of hurdles practically every day. So that was a big job, and it was very physical, hard work. And why was he doing that? It was to provide food, because they grew crops specially for sheep in the winter. There were turnips, and it was also, funnily enough, we're going back to the same sort of thing now, but that he kept them supplied with food. That was number one. But number two, he cared for them. Although there was several hundred sheep in the field, he knew them. I don't say he knew everyone by name, you wouldn't know the names, but he knew his sheep. He knew the ones that needed special attention. He was there for them all the time. What a picture it is for us, isn't it, really? And we need to care for one another, and we need to be involved with that and understand our sheep. And they need to understand us, to trust in us, if we're giving a lead in any sort of a way, or trying to. But the thing is, Jesus is such a marvelous example, and we should read that the verse in John 10. I've got it written out, I think. Yes, I have. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then verse 14 again, same thing. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." And again he says a second time, "I lay down my life." We need to be happy and holy and humble.
serving on the chief ship. He's physically away. It goes on in this chapter. We haven't got time to read. But this is why it's so important to always carry it in mind that Jesus is coming. He's coming back soon. And we're going to meet him. So we're here, set here, not to be proud. Ready to exist, to protect what we need, to feed them, to protect them from the world, to protect them. And Peter speaks, and Paul speaks, and Jesus speaks about the enemy, and the attack. The enemy is about to attack. So our job is to lead attention to Jesus, to Jesus our shepherd, to protect us, to care for us. We'll just close with the last few verses of that chapter. Let's read the last verse. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So we just pray. Lord, we thank you for reminding us of the love of Jesus. And we pray that you will fill our hearts with all this. May you be looking. So we sing the Lord's Ask My Shepherd, or we got time? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
The Lord's my shepherd.